Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what a joy it is this Thanksgiving week as we are able to gather this morning and look at a psalm which is filled with Thanksgiving, really the 136th psalm, which has the responsive reading, and for his mercy endures forever, for his mercy endures forever. So as we look at this psalm, Lord, guide us and lead us in this time of meditation and then in time of prayer this morning, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's kind of remarkable we would come upon Psalm 136 on the very week of Thanksgiving this year, but here we are. And Psalm 136, we don't really know who wrote it, but we know it is prominent in the scriptures and it was sung by Israel at different times. We have in 1 Chronicles 16, when David brought the ark up from Kiriath Jearim and to Jerusalem and placed it in the tabernacle. We have in verse 37, so he left Asaph and his brothers there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister the ark regularly as every day's work required. And then we come on down to verse 41. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, those are the choir directors, the worship people. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endures forever. So they're in 1 Chronicles 16 with David. And then we move on to David's son Solomon at the time of the dedication of the temple. And in 2 Chronicles 7, we read verse 3. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." So we see this psalm being sung at the time of David, at the time of Solomon. And we see it's all about thanking our Lord. Well, I wanted to begin this morning with this old hymn written by Martin Rinkhart. He was born in 1636, almost 500 years ago. But it's just a great song, a great hymn. Verse 1 says, "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, whose wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices." And then we go to verse 3, "All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and Spirit blessed, who reign in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom heaven and earth adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be forevermore." Just such an awesome hymn. So let's sing this in thanksgiving along with the choir here.
Thank you.
yes, now thank we all our God. Amen. Well, as we look at this psalm, it's 26 stanzas. And if you can remember the last five words, "For his mercy endures forever," you know with those five words, you've memorized half of the psalm here, because that's the way each of the verses ends. I want to break this down into different little categories here. The first three verses, I believe, are a threefold praise to the triune God. Verse 1 reads, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." So here we're giving thanks to Yahweh, Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in the Old King James and New King James. So we're Almighty God. We're giving thanks to him, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 2, "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods," or to the Elohim with a capital E and a capital G of God, little Elohim. "He is the only true God over all other gods." There are no other gods, really. "For his mercy endures forever." Then verse 3, again, for the third time, "Oh, give thanks." And this time it's to the Lord of hosts, to Adonai. And so we have the triune God being thanked here, "for his mercy endures forever." That is the prefix for each of these three verses. Now, the next six notes of praise, or the next six verses, are to the Creator. Verse 4, "to him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever." Awesome. Can we see that? He does great wonders wherever you look at creation, even in a fallen world, whether you look at things way out there with a telescope, or you look at them in with visual sight here, or you look at them with a microscope. There are so many wonders in all aspects of his creation. Just think about the variety of any one thing, of an animal or of a flower or of a pickle or of a pepper or anything else. It's just his wonders are so awesome. Verse 5, "to him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever." I believe this is the only place in the psalm where we read that God made the heavens. We obviously have him creating the heavens and the earth, but here it says in the psalm, "whom by wisdom made the heavens." He just didn't make them haphazardly, by wisdom. And when we think of the millions and trillions of stars out there rotating at great speeds and all in order, when we think of just our own planet here, we can program exactly when the sun is going to rise and when it's going to set every day of the year in advance, because of his great wisdom in laying out the heavens. Verse 6, "to him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever." Oh, how thankful we are that out of the miry clay and out of the watery swamps and all, he laid out the earth above the waters. And verse 7, "to him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever." Just think about his wonders in creation, and think about how few of those we would really be able to see if there was no light. But he made great lights. Verse 8, "the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever." Just think of the sun for a minute. You know, we get our life from that. If we were a little closer to the sun, we would get burned up. If we were a little further away, we would freeze to death. And it is unbelievable. I was looking at a few facts on the sun, and I couldn't believe this, because I'm just not aware of it. But the time it takes us to read this verse, "the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever," during that time, about 12 million tons of mass was expended in energy by the sun. It's expending the energy about 400,000 tons per second. I can't even envision that much. And it's been said, when we think about a young Earth, old Earth, people say the Earth is millions of years old. If you project that loss of mass by the sun over a million years, you would have basically the sun touching the Earth, the 93 million miles which today exists between the Earth and the sun would disappear, and you'd have no way you could have life on the Earth if the sun was adjacent to it. So that is the sun ruling by days. Verse 9, the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. Can you envision a dark night in the desert, clear night in the desert, and see the trillions of stars? You can't see the trillions, but you can see a lot of them. Absolutely gorgeous. The moon, gorgeous at different times of the moon, particularly the full moon, is always exciting to see. So the moon and the stars to rule by night, how he decorated the skies at night, right? Now, the next several verses here, actually the next six verses here, we're going to look at his deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And this is for Israel, of course, as I just mentioned. But as we read this, think in terms of your deliverance from sin, my deliverance from sin, and see the parallels there, if you will. Verse 10 says, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. You know, Egypt had the nation of Israel in slavery for over 300 years. And so Moses was told to go and let his people go, and Pharaoh wouldn't cooperate because he didn't believe. Who is this Jehovah? He said, I don't know this Jehovah. I'm not going to pay attention to him. Well, God judged Israel, judged Egypt, and he did it in a merciful way. He didn't wipe them all out, but he affected every single family in Egypt by striking to death their firstborn, including the Pharaoh's son. Wow, then they knew who was God. Verse 11, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endured forever. I like this bringing out Israel out of slavery, just like I like the Lord has brought us out of slavery, out of the bondage of the wicked one, right? For his mercy endures forever. Verse 12, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. Just think of the 10 plagues that exhibited the strong hand of God and his outstretched arm in causing Israel not only to leave, but to be mercifully pushed out, so to speak, giving them gold and silver and all kinds of wealth to take with them. And Egypt was glad to see them go. They didn't have to escape initially, at any rate, from the people. They wanted to get rid of them because of all of the things that were going on through the power of the Lord and his 10 plagues. Verse 13, to him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever. Can you picture? I can't really, but just envision this Red Sea, and it's parted, and there's two huge walls of water on each side of you. And now you're going to lead the million plus people down through that. You're going to enter into, and this floor of it's going to go down, 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 and then you go, and then you start up, up, up on the other side. And can you imagine how high those walls of water would have been, particularly when you start down, and how frightening that would be? Is that water going to let go? Is it going to drown us? And probably the wives would be asking their husbands, I'm scared. I don't think this is going to work. And the kids would be crying because they were afraid. And yet God led them on dry land between the two walls of water. And I think of that as we go through life. We've got the walls of the evil one kind of on both sides of us. But as Job would say, or as Satan would say regarding Job in the book of Job, that God has a hedge about Job to protect him. And this is what's happening there. Israel is protected between those two walls, and we're protected between the walls of the evil one by being his. Satan can attack us with his darts, but he can't have us because we're the Lord's. Verse 14, and made Israel pass through the midst of the sea, or the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. I like that. He made Israel pass through. Don't you like to go through your problems? No, I don't like to go through them. But I don't like to go into them. Now, all of us, I believe, all the time are either going into a problem, or we're going through the problem, or we're coming out of the problem. And the passing through, we have to remember the Lord is with us. And when we go into the problem, we have to remember the Lord is allowing us, or maybe causing us, to go into this, to change us, to cause us to turn to Him, to become more Christ-like. But again, for His mercy endures forever. Everything that is done to you, everything that is done to me as a believer, reflects God's enduring mercy. It's always there. Verse 15, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His mercy endures forever. So we see here in the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, to stop the strongest army in the world from pursuing them or giving them any problem, God just wiped them out. He let those walls of water go back, and it enveloped Pharaoh and his army and his chariots, as we read in the scripture, in God's mercy endures forever. Now we have seven more verses from 16 through 22 for their journey through, there's one of those throughs again, through wilderness and entrance into Canaan. So we know about 2 years after the Exodus, when they were down around Mount Sinai area, that He sent the 12 spies up to check out the land. And the spies came back, and two of them, Joshua and Caleb, had a great report, but the other 10 had a fearful, terrifying report. They said, there are giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers. Yeah, it's a good land, but man, there's walled cities in there with the walls to the heavens, and there's giants in the land. And the people freaked out, and through unbelief, they wouldn't go in. And just consider that. Even after they had seen the Red Sea parting, after they'd seen the 10 plagues in Egypt, and after they had been given manna to eat, after they had had water miraculously given to them out of the rock, miracle after miracle, but now they freak out of fear. But because of their unbelief, they ended up 40 years in that wilderness march, rather than a couple of weeks it would have taken if they would have followed the leading of the Lord, or maybe 30 days at the most. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endured forever. Oh, what mercy He showed His people. He says their shoes didn't wear out. He maintained them, kept them. Yes, the ones over 20 all died because of unbelief in that next 40 years, whereas the ones under 20, probably very few, if any, died. I don't know. Verse 17, to Him who struck down great kings, for His mercy endures forever. Kings are thought to be great here on earth when they're powerful over men, but they're nothing in the sight of God. He struck them down. Verse 18, and slew famous kings, for His mercy endures forever. Great kings, famous kings, and two of them are named here. Verse 19. First big victory was over the Amorites, and this was Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 20, the second big king, his guy was 13 plus feet tall, I think, and about 6 feet wide, a bed 6 feet wide, we read. Og, king of Bashan, a huge giant, was head of Bashan, and again, he was defeated, for His mercy endures forever, speaking of the Lord. And then verse 21, and the Lord gave their land as a heritage, for His mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, His servant, for His mercy endured forever. I was just thinking about the family aspect of the land in Israel. It was so awesome as God laid it out. He would parcel out the land by lot to the tribes, right? And then within the tribe, they would assign the land to families, and that family would hold on to that land. That would be the family land, and they wouldn't let go of it, generally speaking. But the result of that is you never had the people starving in Israel, because their land was never taken away from them like it is in most other nations. So He gave them their land as a heritage, and it still is today. It's the Lord's land, but Israel is permitted there and is allowed there and is promised to be there. Now we close out with really more of a personal aspect, the next two verses, a personal gratitude for our present mercy, not even just historically, which is so awesome to look back at Israel, but verse 23 says, who remembered us in our lowly state. That us is you and it's me. Amazing, for His mercy endures forever. Remembered us. Reminds me of the thief on the cross. What a lowly, lowly state he was in right at the end of his life. And remember, he said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, well, today you will be with me in paradise. So here's this verse, who remembered us in our lowly state. And think about our lowly state when he saved us. Spiritually, we were next to dead, but he reached down and saved us. And now he has filled us with his Spirit, and we have that promise of eternal life. And verse 24 is a continuation of that thought, and rescued us from our enemies. For his mercy endures forever. Think of the rescuing us from our enemies of Satan and the workers of iniquity. The promise of being with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And then the next verse, 25, tells of the Lord's universal providence, who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. God feeds all flesh. He gives food to all flesh. Now, there's some creatures I don't understand them. I don't like them. I don't like snakes. But God gives food to all flesh, it says here, for his mercy endures forever. And that's so true, isn't it? And then the closing verse to excite never-ending praise, verse 26. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Wow. How we want to have thankful hearts. How we want to thank him for his mercy. His mercy and his grace, so awesome. And it's not going to end, for his mercy endures. How long? Forever. What a beautiful thing. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go to prayer now and pray as the Spirit would lead us. Let's pray. Well, let's close with this Maranatha song, Give Thanks. So fitting for this week with Thanksgiving, and fitting for the psalm today. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to pray. Oh, how we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, bless each one because they came, and Lord, may we be in a heartful attitude of prayer this whole week, not just one day of the year, but every day to be filled with thanksgiving to you. And Lord, may we use the time, especially on Thursday, as we might be in the presence of others, maybe more than other days, I don't know, but wherever we are, may your love radiate out from us. May there be your hope and your peace and your joy coming from each one of us that would be drawing people to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining this morning. God bless you.